Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Gasoline and Caffeine. I'm your host, Cameron. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to talk about a few different things today, including my top five garage, the five cheapest sports cars on sale via Apple News, Damon Electric Motorcycles as well. So grab that cup or can of your favorite caffeine and let's get started. Alright guys, welcome back. I actually meant to record this episode last week, entirely forgot because of my daughter's first birthday. That was her party was on Sunday, and so I just completely forgot to record an episode. But anyway, we're here today, so it doesn't matter. So we're going to jump right into it. Probably going to be a fairly short episode today, just didn't have a whole lot of time to research as much as I wanted to with some of these things. So we're just going to go over them, give you my thoughts and things like that. But we're going to start with my top five garage. The top five cars, if I could have anything in my garage, these are the top five. Not necessarily in any order, just cars that I like. And it's some of it's performance, some of it's just looks. And some of it's just cars that I've liked. One of them I've liked since I was a child. So that's really the only reason they're on here. It's really no specific order beyond that. The first one that I wrote down was the Ferrari 512 Testarossa. That's the episode that you guys might, the car from the episode you guys might remember from a few episodes ago where I did the history of the 512 TR. I believe it's the 93 or 94 version of that car. That is my absolute favorite Ferrari, or one of my absolute favorite Ferraris ever made. There's a few that I like. Coming in close behind that, as far as Ferraris go, would be like the 458 Italia or the 488 GTB. Those are pretty cool cars, good-looking cars that I like as well. But I love that car. I had a little toy of it, a little like wind-up pullback toy that, when I was a kid, and I absolutely love the way that car looked. The rear end that was wider than the front, those big side strakes on the side for the mid-engine cooling. I just love the way that car looks. I still have it somewhere. I know I do. And any time that there's a game that I play that has that car in it, I always pick it, and I'll drive it around. Forza Horizon 5, for whatever reason, unfortunately doesn't have it. I don't know why. I really wish they would add it in there. They have something close, and now I don't remember what it is. It was like the predecessor to the 512 TR, and I can't remember the name. I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But that's the closest thing that they have to that car. Next on the list, like I said, this isn't in any particular order. Ford Focus RS, the last version that they made, I think is 2019, was the last one that they were going to produce as far as America goes anyway. I think they were going to continue production in other continents, just as far as North America goes, they weren't going to. But I like that car. Every review I've ever watched of that car, I think Top Gear, there might have been a few other places that I watched, probably on YouTube, like YouTube channels and stuff. They all said it's a really good car. They really liked it. It was really well designed, had plenty of power. It did everything you needed it to, and it wasn't stupid expensive. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't stupid expensive. I just liked it. I liked the way it looked. My favorite version of it was, I think it was one of the last models. It was like a baby bluish kind of color with black rims and then some red badges, and it just looked really cool. There was one that actually I used to see quite often. Somewhere around where I live, somebody had one, and I used to see it every now and then, probably at least once a week. And I haven't really seen it in a while, so I don't know if they got rid of it or what. Also, I only work nights now, so it's possible that our schedule's so different now that I never see it. But I do like that car. I love the way it sounds, the power and everything, the way it looks. I just liked it. I always liked that car. I didn't like... I want to say it was the first, when the first generation of it, maybe in like the mid 2000s or the late 2000s. I can't remember. There was a generation of it I did not like. It was just purely aesthetic. I'm sure it was a great car. I just didn't like the way it looked. But then when they redesigned it after, I want to say 2012, so maybe 2016 or 2015, when they had that facelift to it, that's when I really liked it, because I had a 2012 Focus, just a regular sedan, and I didn't like the way the front end of those cars looked. I didn't mind the back end too much, I just didn't like the way the front end looked. But then they redesigned it a few years after that, and it actually looked good. I liked it after that. It looked a lot better, and it was that model of RS that I really, really liked. but I can't remember what, I want to say it was 2015. I don't remember exactly. Either way, but I really liked that car. The next one on the list is more of like a way out there, like a dream luxury car, is the Ferrari GTC4 Lusso. It's like this way, it almost looks like a Hot Wheel car. It almost doesn't look like it should exist. It's, you sit way back as far as the car is concerned. Most of the time, even in sports cars, you're not sitting much, much further back than roughly in the middle of the car for the most part. With regular passenger cars, you know, like a, like my Elantra, like a Corolla, a Focus, Fiesta, those kind of cars, you're sitting much closer to the front axle than you are to the rear axle. If you get in some type of sports car like a Corvette, you might be sitting in between the two axles for the most part. This car, you're sitting way back. You're sitting way back near the rear axle. It's a front engine. I believe it's rear wheel drive Ferrari, two seats. It's a crazy looking car, and I absolutely love it. Oh, actually, so the GTC4 Lusso was all-wheel drive, not rear-wheel drive, and it was powered by a front-mounted V12, like I said. It produced 681 horsepower at 8,000 RPM with about 514 pound-feet of torque. Capable of about 208 miles an hour. Man, 0 to 60 in just under 3.5 seconds. So there's two versions of this car. There was just the regular GTC4 Lusso, and then there was a GTC4 Lusso T, which is a V8 rear-wheel drive powered version of the car. But you could get the 4WS, which is a four-wheel drive plus four-wheel steering V12 variant if you wanted to. But it was mostly just rear-wheel drive V8, it looks like. And then August 31st, 2020, Ferrari confirmed the end of production of the car, and then no replacement has been announced. There was a one-off version apparently called the Ferrari BR20. I don't know what this is. Never heard of it. This is just via Wikipedia. It was the biggest change was the transformation of a shooting brake style for the fastback coupe. The price of this car has not been, I don't know. I can't find any more about it. But anyway, yeah, it's just a really awesome looking car. I like the way it looks, the design of it and everything, the way you sit way back. I think my favorite one I've ever seen of this car, it was like a dark, a lot of Ferraris come in this color. It's a way like a dark, dark blue. I can't remember the name of the blue either. I'm looking at pictures of it right now. I just can't remember the name of it, but it had, it had that dark blue, and then it had these like dark, I want to say maybe brass or copper colored rims. It was custom. This wasn't from the factory. Somebody bought this car and did this to it. It just looked so awesome. I think I saw it on Instagram a long time ago. I tried to find it again, just so I could describe it to you guys. And I have not been able to find it. I looked all over Instagram. I Googled as much as I could, and I tried to get as close as I could, but I couldn't find anything anywhere near it. So I don't know. I remember seeing on Instagram, and that's it. That's all I remember. But it was a really, really good, like I said, awesome looking. I just love the way it looks. It's just an interesting design to me. It almost looks like a hatchback, but it's two door, two seats. So it's just interesting. I just really, really like it. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just take a look. It's the Ferrari GTC4 Lusso, Lusso. It's just an interesting looking car. I love the way it looks. I believe it's on Horizon 5. I want to say it is, because I want to say that I bought it. It was one of the first cars, once I had, you know, millions of credits. It was one of the first cars I bought and tuned, and I drove the car all the time. I haven't played that game in a while, though. I've been obsessed with Assassin's Creed Odyssey lately because I want to play Valhalla, but I want to get through Odyssey first just because I haven't played an Assassin's Creed in a while. Anyway, so that's that car. The next car on the list is the Nissan Skyline, the R34 Skyline. This one has nothing to do with anything other than the way it looks. This one is all about aesthetic. I just love the way this car was designed, the way that it looks. It just has a certain aggressiveness to it. It's got a wide stance. It just looks awesome. I love the way this car looks. The wing that came on it, for that generation, I should say, not that year necessarily. It just looked good. And there's not a lot you can do to this car and make it look bad unless you go absolutely nuts. But like my favorite one that I saw, I can't remember where I saw it. I found it on Instagram. I know that, but I can't remember where it came from. It was this like dark, like ink gray version of it, and it had these not quite gold, maybe it was bronze, bronze rims, and they looked awesome. I'm looking at a picture of it now. It just looks so cool, like it's so clean like that. The other one that I've seen that looks really good is very similar, but they're a very dark copper color rim, and then the whole car is just white, and it just looks really, really clean. But I love the design of that car. The Skyline, very popular car, you know, among car enthusiasts, and there's various generations of the car. The newest one is kind of, I mean, people like it, but if you think of Skyline or you say Skyline to a car enthusiast, a lot of times they're not going to think of this brand new generation of the car. They're probably going to think of the R34 or older. I would say the R34 is probably not the most popular. The very first generation is probably one of the most popular, but I'd say the next one is like the R32. R32, R33 versions are probably the most popular of the Skylines. That's the one I tend to see the most anytime you see anything to a Skylines. But yeah, the R34 is, I love the way that car is designed. It just looks so awesome. It's just a good looking car. Every game I've ever played, I've got one and tuned it, and it would be an awesome car to own. That's the second to last on the list. Like I said, no particular order. The last one on my list is the Lamborghini Huracan, whatever. I can't find any way to pronounce it correctly. I think I heard Huracan from Top Gear, so I'm gonna get it wrong, but I'm not too worried about it. But anyway, I love that car. It looks awesome. Before the Huracan came out, my favorite Lamborghini was the Murcielago. That was absolutely my favorite one, just based on aesthetic alone, just the way it looked. I liked it a lot. There's been a few after that, like the Aventador. That one was all right. It looked fairly cool. I liked the way the Murcielago looked more, especially compared to the other car at the time, was the Gallardo. I just liked the Murcielago so much more than the Gallardo. There's really not a whole lot of other Lamborghinis that I liked that much. I mean, there's, you know, some legendary ones like the Miura and the Diablo and all that, Countach. But the ones that I like the most are the Huracan. That's absolutely my favorite one. And there's a few different models of it. When it first was introduced, it was just the LP610-4 Coupe. Then there's the Spider, LP580-2 Coupe, LP580-2 Spider, 64-4 Performante. Then there's a Spider version of that also. The newest one that just came out that is awesome, it looks awesome, the numbers are awesome, is the Lamborghini Murcielago LP640-4, or sorry, Huracan LP640-4 STO. That one's awesome. The power and everything, the way it looks, they changed it a little bit. It's not a lot, it's just mostly subtle changes. It just looks awesome, and it sounds awesome. If you can just search it on YouTube real quick, the way that motor sounds is awesome. For those of you who don't know, it's a two-door coupe, obviously Lamborghini, mid-engine, four-wheel drive. For the most part, it's a 5.2-liter V10 with a 7-speed dual clutch. For the most part, I want to say they weren't like stupid fast or anything. Most of the time they couldn't even do 200 miles an hour roughly. Some of them could hit just over 200 miles an hour. But nothing, you know, nothing insane. You know, some of these can go well over 200 miles an hour. But they were light. They could hit 0 to 60. It's just an insane amount of time. I mean, like the very first one, the LP610-4 Coupe. 2.5 seconds, 0 to 60. It's insane. The newest one is 3 seconds, 0 to 60, but it does a quarter mile. Well, it doesn't actually say what the quarter mile time is. Oh, here we go. So the 610-4, those were 602 horsepower. The 580-2, those are 572. And then the 640-4, the 640-4 Spider, and the 640-4 STO, those are both, or all three of those are 631 horsepower. So they haven't really changed that much from the last model or trim, I guess I should say. But it's just a really good looking clean car. I don't like the spider version of it, but I'm not much of a convertible guy anyway. So I'm not really into them. I just like the clean one without the big wing spoiler on the back. The STO comes with that because that's the whole point of it. But I like it without that wing. To me, it just looks a lot cleaner. Obviously, it's performance-based. There's a reason it's there. But I just like it without it. It's just a really good-looking, clean car. I really, really like it. I don't know. I know it's probably getting near-ish to the end of its life because it's going to be coming up on about 8 years old since it was introduced. And they typically, if they haven't introduced a new car yet, they typically do it within 10 years or so of the last model before, and then they'll produce it for a couple more years and then stop producing that model. So we'll have to see what it gets replaced with, if that's going to happen anytime soon. It may not, who knows. So we'll see. And that's it for my top five garage. I tried to get some of you guys on Instagram to give me some. I didn't really get a whole lot. That's fine. That's a new page. We're trying to get it going. But if you guys listen to this and you have Instagram, you enjoy Instagram, obviously, I don't want you to go and get Instagram just for this page or just for this podcast. But if you have one, please go find it. Gasoline and Caffeine Pod. I usually leave links in the show description, show notes. So you don't have to go searching for it. You can just click on the link and it'll take you to it. And give it a like. Like I said, leave comments, reviews. I'll do stories with questions and stuff sometimes. And I want your guys' engagement as much as I can because it gives me something to talk about and gives me better ideas as to what I should do each episode so I can make content that you guys enjoy. So if you have an Instagram, please go give that a follow engage if you can. Obviously, if you don't want to, you don't have to. I can't make you. But if you like it, if you truly enjoy it, then please, it helps me. It lets me know what I'm doing right and wrong and all that stuff. So next, we're going to go to the five cheapest sports cars on sale today. This is via, I got it on Apple News. I want to say it's a Fox News story, though. This was posted November of last year. It was something that I meant to talk about earlier, and then I just never did it. I think I forgot about it. But we're going to do it today. So there's five cars. They're all under $30,000, which is not cheap, you know, quote unquote, to a lot of people, but it is cheap when it comes to performance and cars that are fun to drive and things like that. Obviously, a lot of the cars I just talked about, well over 50,000, some of them up in the, you know, well in the six digit range. But these ones are all under $30,000. So starting with, that doesn't look like it's ranked in any specific way. There's just a list, so I'm just going to scroll from top to bottom and tell you guys what it says. So it's going to start with the Subaru BRZ, which just got a redesign. Some of you guys may know what that looks like, some of you may not. I personally don't like the redesign that much. I think I liked the way it looked before. I think personally they should have just tried to fix a lot of the main mechanical and handling complaints that a lot of owners had. Versus a cosmetic upgrade as well. I think they should have kept it fairly similar and just tweaked things here and there if they were looking for a visual refresh of the model. I know there was a lot of complaints with different things about the car, and the powertrain, the transmission, handling, things like that. They should have addressed those and then thought about, visuals of it, the way the car looks. But I don't run Subaru, so what do I know? I'm just a guy talking into a microphone. Anyway, so this car starts at $28,995. The Subaru BRZ and the Toyota GR86 are pretty much the same car. Most people know that. When Scion was around, they had the I can't even remember the name of that. The Scion, was it the FT86? I don't remember now. But it was the same car. That's all it was. And for those of you that don't know, Scion was like a more like younger generation demographic type car made by Toyota, and they tended to be a lot cheaper. It folded a few years ago. Toyota decided it just wasn't worth putting money into, so Scion no longer exists. But luckily for us, a couple of the cars do, including the two-door car like the BRZ, GT86, those cars. So right now it's just Subaru and Toyota. They're the only people that make them. Both of these cars, they're lightweight. They're powered by 228 horsepower, 2.4 liter flat four cylinder. It's mostly Subaru, but the BRZ, anyway, is tuned to ride and handle more like a GT car than a track car. Like I said, it's... I don't like the way they... I'm looking at a picture right now. I don't like the way they redesigned it. I really wish they would have left it. It doesn't look bad. I just like the way it looked before. It just looked a lot... It just looked better to me. I don't know. But, you know, to each their own. The next car, pretty much the same thing. It's just Toyota. It's a Toyota GR86. This one is slightly cheaper at $28,695. So it's like a $300 difference. But it's pretty much the same car. It just handles more like a track car. The GR86 comes standard with a 6-speed manual transmission and clutch and cloth, sorry, upholstery that makes it the perfect template for tuners to go to work on. A lot of these cars on the road, there's a lot of them, and they're pretty easy to work on. There's a lot of parts for them. It's pretty easy to make them unique to you, and they're fun little cars. I believe my cousin has one. He said he likes it. He said it's fun. There's a few things that he wishes he could fix, but overall he likes the car. And he, I think when they announced the redesign and they released it, or they revealed it, I should say, he was kind of on the same side too. He didn't really understand why they went so far with the visual part of it, and they should have just stayed with mostly the mechanical stuff that people are having problems with. But anyway, that's the second car on the list. So third on the list is the Ford Mustang EcoBoost, which this one is $28,400, so it's a little bit cheaper than the first two that we went to. Why EcoBoost? I don't know. It's a 310 horsepower turbocharged 2.3 liter four-cylinder. So it's probably got, you know, a little pep to it. It's probably not boring to drive. But as far as sports cars go, I don't know. I don't know that I call this a sports car. It's a very large car. It's not particularly light. And it's powered by a little 2.3 liter four-cylinder with a turbo. 310 horsepower is impressive for that, especially at $28,000. But I don't know. I would have to drive one. If you guys listen to this and you've driven or own that car, please send me a message or leave a comment on whatever my recent post is and let me know what your thoughts are on that car. I've never driven the EcoBoost version of it. I've only driven V8 versions of the Mustangs. So I don't know what that's like. I know that's a fairly newish platform for the Mustang, the EcoBoost motors. I'd be very interested to see what people's thoughts on that car are and that powertrain and everything. The new Mustangs, very good looking cars. I love them. The year before that, so 2020, I drove a 2019 GT, Mustang GT. It was just a weekend getaway for me and my wife on my birthday, and I just wanted to rent something that wasn't my crappy little Ford Focus, and I found that, and it was cheap, and so we drove it for a couple of days, and it was a lot of fun. That car was a lot of fun to drive. Quick, handled really well. I liked it. It was just fun to drive. It wasn't meant to be anything crazy like, you know, Challenger, Demon, you know, Red Eye, nothing like that. It was just meant to be something fun to get away from the little, you know, front-wheel drive four-cylinder that I'd been used to. And I liked it, and I love the way they look. So like I said, if you have an EcoBoost or if you've driven the EcoBoost versions of the Mustangs, the newer ones, please let me know what that's like. Because that way I can let people know what someone who actually has one thinks of it, because I've never driven one. I don't know what it's like. I've driven the EcoBoost trucks, the F-150s, but obviously that's not performance or sport-based like the Mustang is. So the next one on the list, very familiar car when it comes to cheap, fun sports cars. Most people are going to know this. Mazda MX-5 Miata. Car has been around for quite a while. It's well-known among the tuner and sports car and track day communities. Very accessible, very cheap. You can find, you know, 5, 10, 15-year-old versions of these cars for very cheap. And it doesn't take a whole lot to make these things track ready and fun to drive. This is the newest version of the Miata. They got a redesign a couple years ago. I do like them. The thing is I want to say that there's not a hard top version of it, just a straight up hard top. I think they're all convertible now. I don't remember. And I don't really like that. Like I said, I'm not much of a convertible guy. But anyway, so this car starts at $27,825. So this is, like I said, via Fox News. The Miata has been the quintessential affordable sports car for over three decades, and the latest version continues the tradition with its tiny two-seat convertible body and peppy 181 horsepower 2-liter four-cylinder engine. Like it said, it's just... it's a good car. It's a fun car to drive. It's light. Doesn't need a whole lot of power to get it going. And you can have a ton of fun with it. Almost 200 horsepower to a 2-liter four-cylinder rear-wheel drive front engine. You know, it's fun to drive. If you're looking to get into some type of sports car, even just a track car, just a cheap, fun track car that you can drive every day if you wanted to, the Miata is a good car to look. It's very reliable, very, very popular. There's tons of parts for that thing all over the place. So you wouldn't have a hard time making that thing your own, as well as, you know, having parts that you needed just in case you do take it to a track day and get a little crazy. So definitely a car worth looking at. And the last one on the list is the Chevy Camaro. This one starts at $26,195. This is in the like the quote unquote pony car class, I guess. The Camaro is the direct competition to the Mustang. I don't like the redesign of the brand new ones, like the 2021, or maybe it was 2020. They redesigned them recently, and I don't like it. I do not like it. I didn't even like the previous generation before that. I can't remember what generation it was, but it's not this redesign and not the previous one. It's the one right before that. That was my favorite. These ones just look, I don't know, they look funky to me. It's just the front end, too. It just looks funky to me. 275 horsepower, 2-liter four-cylinder. Not a lot of power. This is kind of like in the same category as that Mustang EcoBoost. I don't really 100% understand it. It's a big car. It's a big American car, and it's just got a little four-cylinder in it. Almost not quite 300 horsepower. It's 35 or so under the Mustang. The turbo probably helps that, obviously. I don't know why they couldn't just throw a turbo in there. It's not like Chevy doesn't have, you know, the resources to be able to do that. They have turbos in their little, like, Sonics and stuff in the Cruises. Like, why couldn't they just throw a turbo on that and make up some of that ground and make it a little bit more fun? But whatever. But I guess it's a good start. Although, if you're somebody that's going to buy a Mustang or Camaro, I get the financial part of it, but at the same time, that car was not meant to be driven around a little bit. It's more of a sports car. It's meant to kind of be pushed. And so why you would get one of those and not get a V8, I don't know. That's my personal opinion. It's not an attack on anybody at all. If I were going to get a Mustang or a Camaro, I'd be stuffing a V8 in that thing. That's what they were meant for. That's what they were designed around. And so that would be, if I were going to get one of those and I couldn't afford the V8 version, I would just wait until I could. I wouldn't get a inline, especially inline four. Yeah, the V6 is better than an inline four. But, you know, everybody's in a different situation. Everybody has different opinions. So whatever, you do what's best for you. Personally, I don't like it. The other thing, too, like I said, with the Mustang, I've never driven a four-cylinder Camaro. I don't know what that would be like. I can't imagine that's fun to drive. It may not be terrible, but I just don't imagine that is a particularly fun or exciting car to drive in any way, especially, like I said, especially the new ones. I just don't like the way they look. It's handling and everything, you know, it's a totally different story. Who knows? But I just can't imagine with that small of a powertrain and that little power, I can't imagine that would be fun or exciting in any way. But like I said, I don't know. I've never driven that one. If you have, please let me know. Send me a message. If that is one of the funnest cars you've ever driven and you think it's awesome, then please let me know. I've never driven one, so I have no idea what that's like. So that's the end of the list for the top five cheapest sports cars on sale. That's via Apple News and then Fox News. So now we're going to talk about one last thing. It's the last subject for today. I found this while on Instagram the other day, and I thought it was really cool. I've always been into motorcycles. I've been riding motorcycles since I could walk. My dad taught me how to ride a KX60, I think, when I was like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old, something like that. And I have been hooked ever since. I haven't had a motorcycle in a while just because, you know, life gets in the way. I'm trying to get other things done. Going back to school here pretty soon. I have a kid now. I live in an apartment. I don't have a garage. I don't have anywhere to put it. And I really don't feel like walking out one day and finding it not there because someone decided to lift it up and put it in the back of their truck. So that's why I don't have one at the moment. I will get one again eventually. But anyway, I was on Instagram, I don't know what I was doing, scrolling around, and I found an ad for this company called Damon Electric Motorcycles. They have two models, it looks like, the Hypersport and the Hyperfighter. And it's both what it sounds like if you know the two different body styles of motorcycles. Or the two different body styles of these types of motorcycles. The sport bike, which is when you look at like MotoGP, AMA superbikes, that's what this looks like. It's like that. It's got a full body front fairing and everything. So we're going to start with this one. They have both have several models each of both of these motorcycles. Let's see if I can find it. It's got a lot of really good technology for riders, a lot of smart technology. They call it Hypersport. So we gave each Hypersport a 360-degree view and predictive AI to create space around you, known as Co-Pilot is what they're calling it. And both of them have it. Where are the models at? Here we go. Okay. So there's four models for the Hypersport. Like I said, the other one's the Hyperfighter. So we're going to start with the Hypersport. The bottom tier for the Hypersport is called the Hypersport SE. These are all, like I said, fully electric motorcycles. There is no internal combustion whatsoever. This is not a hybrid or anything like that. Full 100% electric motorcycle. They all have fast charges. It says fast charge in 45 minutes. 80%. Okay, so 80% charge in 45 minutes. That's actually pretty quick. So we'll go over the range and everything because obviously that's the most important part when it comes to electric at the moment. So the Hypersport SE, bottom of the barrel, Hypersport version, 120 mile an hour top speed, 108 mile an hour range, 100 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Comes in two colors, yellow and like a black or gray. The yellow actually looks pretty cool. There's not a whole lot of fancy stuff going on. There's no graphics or anything. It's just straight up yellow or black. That's really it. It has the trim on the tail and it has the manufacturer right up right near the front windscreen. That one starts at $17,000. Then you go up one tier. Starts at $20,000. This is the SX. So 155 mile an hour top speed, 150 mile range, 150 horsepower, 0 to 60 is the same in 3 seconds. Same color options, black and yellow. As far as aesthetics visuals go, they are almost exactly the same. There is very little difference between the two. Nothing that I can even see other than the model, the trim level on the tail. Like I said, SE is 120 miles an hour, 108 mile range. The SX, 155 miles an hour, 150 mile range. Then there's the HS. This one starts at, the SX starts at 20,000. The SE starts at 17. The HS starts at 25,000. This one is 200 miles an hour top speed, 200 mile range, 200 horsepower, same 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. This one has a few more colors and it's got a slightly updated. There's a little bit more going on. There's a little stripe going down the sides of the fairings as well as up the tail. And it says Hypersport on it. And it looks a little bit different. But this one has three colors. So there's the yellow, the black, as well as gray. The yellow has black stripes with black lettering. The black is gold stripes, white lettering in some places. And then the gray is also gold as well. So it's a little bit harder. I don't want to say harder to see. It's just a little bit more subtle. And the gray actually looks pretty good. I do like that one. So this one, like I said, $25,000. And then there's the top tier model for the Hypersport. This is called the Hypersport Premier. Now, on paper, it is almost exactly the same as the HS. 200 mile an hour top speed, 200 mile range, 200 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. The difference is, and I don't know that they can justify almost twice as much. The HS is $25,000. The Premier is $40,000. The Hypersport Premier is a $40,000 bike. Same performance, like I said, on paper. There is a different graphics package going on. It's got a little bit more. There's going up the fairings. There's a stripe going down or going up the windscreen. Sorry, there's a stripe going down the fairings. There's a stripe across the tank. There's a stripe as well as up the tail. There is another graphic stripe. There's two colors. There's white with the gold stripes and then black with gold stripes. What makes this that much more is it looks like it has a little bit of extended swing arm. It's also a single side swing arm, Olin suspension and a Brembo brakes. And it's got the rims are slightly different. So the rest of them are like five or six spoke. This one has 7 spoke rims. I don't know if they're a specific brand. I don't know if they've got any advantage or anything. That's just telling you what I'm seeing. The swing arm looks slight. It might be a little bit longer, like a little bit more extended. Not a whole lot. I mean, inches at the most. Personally, like if I were going to go for one of these, I'm probably not going for that Premier, just because $40,000 for that bike when on paper, it's the same. It's mostly just an exclusivity thing is probably the reason you're going to want that. Otherwise, I don't really know. Like I said, performance wise, all the specs and everything is pretty much the same. So like I said, SE 17,000, XS 20,000, HS 25,000, Premier 40,000. The SE is 120 miles an hour, SX 155, HS is 200, Premier is 200. So like I said, the HS and the Premier are the exact same bikes with the exception of suspension brakes and a different swing arm. That can make a difference. It can make a huge difference in the way the bike rides, but personally, I don't think it's worth that huge dump in price. But you can take a look yourself. Daemon.com. That's their website if you want to take a look at the models. So that's their Hypersport bikes. Those are, like I said, classic sport bikes. Then they have a Hyper Fighter lineup. And there is, I want to say, three models. Okay, so this one looks cool. This looks, the closest thing I can think of, is very similar to like an FC07. Like that type of fighter, naked fighter bike. It looks awesome. If I were going to get any of these bikes, it would be the Hyper Fighter, would not be the Hypersport. I just like the way this looks. So starting at the bottom, there's three trims. Unlimited 15. So this is called the Hyper Fighter Unlimited 15. 150 miles an hour, 120 mile range, 150 horsepower, 0 to 63 seconds. Then there is the Unlimited 20. We'll go over the colors in a minute. They each only have one color. They don't have color options. The Hyper Fighter Unlimited 20. This one starts at 25,000. Well, the Unlimited 15 starts at 19,000. The Unlimited 20 starts at 25,000. 170 mile an hour top speed, 146 mile range, 200 horsepower, 0 to 63 seconds. Then there's the Colossus, the top of the Hyper Fighter trims. This one starts at $35,000. 170 mile an hour top speed, 146 mile range, 200 horsepower, 0 to 63 seconds. Now, just like with the Hyper Sport, the top two models, or trims, I should say, are on paper, they're almost exactly the same. The difference, again, is Olin suspension, Brembo brakes, single-sided swing arm. Other than that, they're pretty much the Unlimited 20 and the Colossus are the same bike. Aesthetically, they're slightly different. The 15 is only gray and black, with a little bit of gold on like the fairings. It's where it says Daemon. The half of the O and part of the N are gold. 20 is the same thing. It's all black though, and then it's yellow. The Daemon is in yellow across the sides. And then the Colossus has the same thing, except there's a little bit more of a stripe going down the fairings, and then it's got this weird graphic on the tank right about where your thighs would be going down, right before your knees go back towards, to take your feet back towards the pegs. Right about on that side, low on that tank. That's where that graphic is. I don't even know what it is. It says Colossus. It almost looks like a dragon. And that one's yellow and black. And though they do not have different color options. They only cut whatever trim you get only has one color option. So the 15 is gray, the 20 is black, and the Colossus is yellow. But beyond that, that's it. That's all you get. This is the model I would get. I would probably get the 20. As much as I would want the performance of the Hyper Fighter, I just like the way the Hyper Fighter looks. I just like the way it looks so much more than the Hyper Fighter or Hyper Sport. My God. I do want that 200 miles an hour. That'd be awesome. But having ridden a ZX-10R and then having an FC07 after that, I've learned you don't really need a bike to have fun. And for the most part on the streets and stuff, you don't really need a bike that can do 250 miles an hour. I took that ZX-10 to like 220, I think, once. That's ridiculous. That speed is insane. So, I've learned that as far as I'm concerned, like if I'm not going to a track, I don't really need a bike like that. I'm perfectly fine with something like this. So with all of the bikes that I was just talking about, as far as Daemon bikes go, I would probably get the Hyper Fighter Unlimited 20. That's probably the bike I would go with. I wish that they had different colors. This trim only comes in black, Personally, I'm not a huge fan of black and yellow. I wish it had like blue or maybe red. But I, you know, I understand it's not a company that's been around a real long time. You know, so they're just doing what they can at the moment. If you're interested in any of these bikes, you can go to Daymon.com and you can reserve any of them. The Hyper Fighter, you can reserve the 15 and the 20 for $100, the Colossus for $250. If you were more interested in the Hyper Sport, those four trims that they have, you can reserve the bottom three trims, so the SE, the SX, and the HS, all for $100. You can reserve that for $100. If you want the Premier, though, it's $1,000 to reserve that one. I was just thinking about when they're going to be released. Let's see if I can find some information on that. Let's say I wanted to reserve the Hypersport Premier. It says nothing about that. Press. Well, they won the 2021 Good Design Award. I can't find anything specific on their website. That doesn't mean it's not there. I'm just not going to sit here and dig around their website and have you guys listen to me do it. But if you're interested in looking at those, like I said, Daymon.com, go to the bottom, because the front page is just like a series of like videos kind of teasing them all. So if you want to look at the models, go to the bottom. On the left, it'll say models. It says Hypersport, Hyperfighter, and you can click on the one that you, you're interested in, that you want to look at. And then you can look at, they have different technology, like I said, the Copilot and stuff that helps. They have on-the-fly adjustments. You can change where the pegs are. You can change where the handlebars and everything are. So you can get more comfortable depending on what you're doing. That stuff's cool too. But yeah, those, I just saw that on Instagram. I thought it'd be really cool. Some of you guys are into motorcycles. I know it's not gasoline, it's electric, but I like them. It's cool. As far as motorcycles go, whatever, I don't care. Whatever works. We know electricity, as far as performance goes, is awesome when it comes to vehicles. So there's no reason to poo-poo that. But yeah, I just wanted to share it with you guys because I thought it was really cool. The last time I looked, they didn't have the Hyperfighter. All they had was the Hypersport. So I really like it that they added a naked style, because that's my favorite type of bike. The naked types. Basically, it's just a sport bike without the front fairings. That's really all it is. I just like the way it looks. To me, it just looks cooler. So that's it for this episode of Gasoline and Caffeine. I believe we're on episode 8 now. Slowly gaining traction. We're getting a few more listeners and a few more downloads every episode, which is cool to see. So please keep sharing this with people that you guys think would want to see it. Anybody that listens to it, please. If you happen to know somebody else who's a gearhead or is into cars, into motorcycles, whatever, just let them know. Just say, hey, give this a listen. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's not going to be for everybody, and I'm okay with that. But if you guys like listening to it and you have suggestions, please follow me on Instagram or send me an email. Those links are always in the show description, the show notes, so you guys can get a hold of me. Let me know. Give me suggestions for a show, the subject. Let me know if there's something that I'm doing that you don't like, or something I'm doing that you do like. It doesn't matter. Whatever. I can't grow. I can't get better unless I get some feedback. But again, thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 8 of Gasoline and Caffeine, and I will see you guys on the next one.